McShane Bible Study, days 345 and 346. And we're starting in 2 Chronicles, chapters 11 through 13. And in 11, so this is a focus on the kings of Judah. Mm-hmm. The books of Kings were going back and forth, kind of giving an even-handed story about what happened in Israel and what happened in Judah with all the kings. This is a little more nationalistic. Here's our great king. Here's the story of our great kings.
So explains why they didn't explain the bad of Abijah.
Yeah, so when we get to chapter 13, it talks about Abijah being a great man, and we just flipped over because we couldn't remember. And Kings talks about him being a bad king that did not follow the Lord. That explains it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so in chapter 11, Rehoboam secures his kingdom. Son of Solomon, he strengthens his, he strengthens everything, right? And then we see 13 and 14. What's that?
Then the king of Egypt comes and captures all the fortified
stuff. Right, but first, notice what happened. So the priests and Levites, the men who loved the Lord, who were positioned from the Lord, came out of Israel. It's the same theme we've been talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Israel had turned away from following the way of God, the way God had prescribed. Mm-hmm. And so they came out and said, no, we're not going to go that way. God had assigned us this place, but he also assigned us to worship him in a proper way. Because remember, God had set the Levites and the priests all scattered all throughout the peoples of Israel so that there were Levites everywhere, right? But they said, no, you've gone away from following the Lord, so we're going to go back over to the country that is following the Lord. So they came, and they came and they strengthened them, right? And it talks about Rehoboam's very inbred wife choices.
Yes. I will have
really healthy kids. Right. It's funny. You wonder, I've always thought it was strange growing up learning European history, like English history and other European countries, how they always married their cousins. But you see, they grew up reading these stories, and it's easy to understand why they thought, well, this is what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Anyways, so 2 Chronicles 12, when the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Right? Is that a good idea or
he
a bad idea?
All Israel
followed the king. The people often tend to follow leadership. It takes a strong person with a heart really for God to say, no, I'm going to go the way of God. I'm not going to go the way the rest of the people around me are going, right? Mm-hmm. So if the king starts leading people astray, it leads people astray. Two, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against. So God said, well, you're not faithful to me, then I must discipline you and correct this situation, right? Mm-hmm. Five, then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak and said to them, thus says the Lord, you abandoned me. Well, I don't need to read it all. Basically, he says, you abandoned me, so I'm going to abandon you. Now Egypt's going to come and conquer you. And then they see this big army. All of a sudden, they're, whoa, okay, hey, we're coming back to the Lord. They humbled themselves before the Lord. And so then he tells Shishak. No, Shishak was the Egyptian. Shemaiah is the prophet. He tells him, okay, well, they've humbled themselves to me, so I won't let them be completely destroyed. However, they will have to serve this Egyptian pharaoh in order to learn. I like the way it was described. 8, nevertheless, they shall be servants to him that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. I always quote Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody, right? It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And God's saying, you don't want to serve me in my way? Well, okay, here's what it's like to serve another way, right? you get to choose whether you walk in blessing or curse. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then 13, Abijah starts to reign. And again, as we said, Chronicles describes him as a great king. He goes to war with Jeroboam, and Jeroboam has twice as big of an army. Mm-hmm. But Abijah says, hey, he cries out to all the people of Israel and says, you guys are following false gods. You guys have turned away from God. We are following God. We have the Levites. We have the priests. And we are following the way of the Lord. And you cannot stand against the Lord. So you should turn back from this fight.
Maybe that was really early in his life.
Yeah, it's probably early in his life. And he turned away later. And as we said, Chronicles is kind of a nationalistic book to remind them of the greatness of their past as they're coming back from service in or slavery in Babylon, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so the people, they ignore him. They go to war. They surround him. But the smaller army surrounded of Judah conquers, right? And they expand their territory, and so it profiles him as a good king that honors the Lord. Certainly in this story, he is honoring the Lord, right? Okay. And next we look at Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And so in the first chapter, he told us he was going to speak to the seven churches, and now in these two chapters, he does speak to the seven churches, right? Revelation is an extremely, probably the most spiritual, quotation marks, book in the Bible, in that it is very possible for someone to read it and find no personal actionable items.
What does that mean?
It means in every other book. So Ephesians is an extremely spiritual book, right? However, also, all the books are spiritual. Obviously, they're all breathed from the Spirit of God, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But some are topically very practical. And some, as far as the topic goes, are more spiritual. Like you read it and you say, well, how do I do that? Or how can I be a part of that? Or it can be a little more mystical. Okay. Ephesians, much of it, the book is like that, but some of it is extremely practical, Fathers, you love your children, right?
Fathers,
don't aggravate your children. Okay.
That's so, the verse.
Your favorite verse.
Yeah.
So, but Revelation can be read and probably is read by some to have zero practical input for their lives. But that would be a foolish way of reading the book.
Yeah, at the beginning.
These two chapters we're reading today are full of very pointed, actionable directives and warnings, right? And so we should read these, each one, as speaking as to us, which side of this particular verse am I on, right? Am I going the right way or the wrong way? Mm-hmm. Rather than looking at, he's speaking to some church that existed long ago, or he's speaking about some church age that's long ago, or whatever, however people might read it. I'm not going to go through it. They're awesome chapters, and we could spend a lot of time dissecting all the verses. I love the different, Jesus is giving himself different titles in each of them. They're kind of cool, right? And then he's also talking about the different things that each church, each group is doing well, and also the different things that they're doing poorly, right? And said, hey, this is a warning. You need to wake up. Some of the themes that repeated were going the way of the world. Like, that's what the Nicolaitans preached. Just be relevant to the world. It's a big movement in the church today. The church Mommy and I met in was one of those.
What does that mean?
Relevant. Be good. Yeah, worship God, but be relevant so we mix in well with the world. I'm not saying it was all bad. Like, it was a good place for me to be at the time, but that season is over. God is getting serious about having a purified bride. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the Nicolaitans preach that kind of thing. Well, look, yeah, we have the name of Christ, but let's be like the other people, right? You have a couple times people are warned for going after other gods and saying, yeah, I got God, but I also want to go this way. A lot of these are about, are we standing for the Lord and his ways, or are you trying to have your cake and eat it too? Or as Mr. Van likes to say, eat your cake and have it too.
What does that mean?
That used to be that is correct if you think about it, but it's not the most common way. So what are we going to talk about? I want to look at when Jesus wraps up with each church, because I think they're kind of cool. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So these are all the promises he gives to the one who overcomes the world. And the last one, when we get to it, is going to be cool because we're going to see how he overcame the world, right? 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it.
Ear.
26, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. We read a couple of verses like that last night. Please stop that. Let's see. 12. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. And my own new name. Wow. Let's see. 21. And well, I'll point out 19 too. I know we talked a lot about this recently, but this is Jesus saying it through John. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. He says the discipline of the Lord is a normal part of life that shows God loves you, right? 21. The one who conquers, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. How did he conquer in his life? How did he overcome? He just obeyed the Father, right? It was something Adam didn't do. Something as we read in Kings and Chronicles, we see people just have a really hard time doing it. Jesus simply always obeyed the Father. Right? He says, look, I will give you my blood to wash away your sins and when you didn't obey. But follow me. Obey the Father. Learn his ways. And I will help you overcome and sit on my throne with me. It's really powerful, right? Mm-hmm. Next, we look at Zephaniah chapter 3, the last chapter. And this is just a common theme. We actually talked about a couple different instances last night. In scripture of this theme. It's the same thing. God's message is over and over and over again what he's going to do. So to be surprised is to have just ignored him, right? He's super clear about it. And so the first part is judgment against his people for going their own way. Verse 4 is one of the verses. Her prophets are fickle, treacherous men. Her priests profane what is holy. They do violence to the law. So the people that are supposed to be leading, kind of like we talked about the kings, here it's the priests. The people who are supposed to be leading my people are not doing it in a godly way. We just talked about trying to be relevant, trying to mix in, trying to appease the outsiders versus appeasing God and walking him in his way so that his glory shines and attracts outsiders, right? And so he says, I will cut them off. And then he says, I will gather... 7, he says, I said, surely you will fear me, you will accept correction, then your dwelling would not be cut off according to all that I have appointed against you. But all the more they were eager to make all their deeds corrupt. And so then he goes on to say, I'm not only going to strike down these people, I'm going to strike down all the people of the world as I gather the entire world. And so then he says, 12, but I will leave in your midst a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. So he talks about a remnant people, right? 19, behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors and I will save the lame. He's talking about the remnant, how he's going to bless a people that carry his name and walk in his ways. And I will save the lame and gather the outcasts, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at that time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes. Next we're reading Haggai, starting Haggai, reading chapter 1. And so this is... Now they have come back. This is in the second year of Darius, king of Persia. Or is Darius a Mede? I don't know.
Darius is a Mede.
Is he? Okay. Well, so they come back to...
He's always called Darius the Mede.
Darius the Mede. That's how you know. So they come back. He sends them back to actually set up the temple, right?
Uh-huh.
But they go about their work and they start kind of worrying about their own lives and not tending to rebuilding the house of the Lord. And so the Lord gives this word to Haggai the prophet, which he gives to Zerubbabel, the governor. He's the son of David, so he would be king if they weren't under Persia, but they're under them, so his title is governor. And also Joshua, the priest, right? The high priest. And he says, you people are suffering bad times because you're not honoring the Lord. In this case, we've told you to rebuild the temple, and you're not focused on that. You're focused on living a worldly life. You're focused on how you're going to eat. You're focused on how nice your own house is. And I'm giving you difficult times because you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you focus instead on honoring me, in this case, it was building that temple. In our case, building the temple of the Lord, which is his people, right? Then I will bless you in every way. It goes back to the same promise God has always given. If you go and live your life for yourself, the way the world does, you live in a cursed, barren place. But if you honor me with your life, I will bless you. Right? Mm-hmm. And so he's saying the same thing to the people there. And I don't know if that sums it up. So we'll move on. And we are finishing in Psalm 119. We're still in the middle of Psalm 119. And we read verses 72 to 120. I'm just trying to highlight different parts. Basically, what he keeps saying in this psalm is that he chooses to walk in the way of the Lord, and he knows that's the blessed way. He says, no matter what everyone else out there is doing, he knows this is the right way. And I like these verses, 99 to 105. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. So he says he's growing in understanding beyond the wise or supposedly wise people that are teaching him because he's seeking the Lord and not just staid religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. He says, I actually do the things you say to do. So I've grown in wisdom above those who just preach and don't do. 101, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are the words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. He says, in living your word, in seeking you, your word, through the Bible, through listening for you, I actually learn true wisdom, the right way to live, and that is more delicious than any food, right? Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus is called the light of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
No. God bless you.
God bless you.
The Lord bless you.